Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Let's study the Bible. So everybody get out your Purpose-Driven Life study book. Turn to page 8. You didn't bring them? Because we don't use them. That just always amazes me. Church will advertise Bible study, and then they'll have it'll be the Purpose-Driven Life book. And I'm going, that's not Bible study.
That's right.
Bible study is when you study the Bible. Amen? That's Bible study. When you study the Bible, that's what you do. If you're going to go to a Bible study, you don't study somebody else's book, somebody else's writings. Oh, you don't want to sit and listen to me? I don't blame you. So we'll study the Bible. I'd like for you to, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. So turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn there. And then Genesis chapter 11. I'm going to help you this morning. How many of you need help?
Amen.
I'm going to, God's give me a different message to preach this morning. I couldn't get away from it. I was going to continue on with the flood. The dragon opened his mouth as a flood. But God changed that. I kept noticing that the Israelites, they met at Ebenezer. That means the stone of our help. Okay, God's helped us, and here's this stone that's going to commemorate that. I'm like everybody else. I need a lot of help all the time. Amen. Need a lot of help. So I want to be a help to you this morning. Give you understanding. Give you knowledge to see the ways of God. To see the workings of God. I want to know God. I want to know who He is. I want to know how He works. I'd like that wisdom and the understanding that comes from knowing God and being able to trust Him and count on Him. And that has helped me a lot. If you don't know God, the other God of this world is going to lie to you and give you false stuff and false doctrine. There's a worship coming, and the whole world is going to worship the wrong God one of these days. If you don't know the difference, you'll be caught up in that. And I don't want to see anybody caught up in that stuff. So some things I say, I mean what I say. If I'm just sticking with the Bible, I mean what I say, not backing down. I'm a little nervous. I'm burdened today. I got a message on my heart. I got a burden on my heart. But I'm a little nervous today. We're putting out today a new video. It's called Witchcraft in the Church. And anytime you mess with Jezebel, she don't like it. Okay? She does not like it. She gets mean, hateful, vengeful, and everything else. So just pray and pray for our church and pray that God will help us. Genesis chapter 11, are you there? Say amen. You'll see why I'm going back here in a minute. In verse 1, the Bible says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And I want you to notice that. We have a whole earth, and we have one language, and we have one speech. Okay? So at this time, now let me give you a little history lesson that you did not learn in fifth grade. Okay? The Bible says back in Genesis chapter 10 that one of the children of Heber was in verse 25 of Genesis chapter 10. It says, unto Heber were born two sons, the name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And you'll see that same thing mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. It says it again. It calls him Peleg, and it says, for in his days the earth was divided. Here's what that means. If you ever looked at a map and notice how South America seems to like fit into Africa. Okay? A map. Everybody get with me here. You're going to get that hour back later on today, all right? I promise you. So everybody just kind of, okay. A globe, big round thing with land on it, okay? South America sort of fits into Africa. And if you were to take North America and fold it in, it would fit into that as well, okay? I believe the Bible's telling us that at one time, all the land was here, and all the ocean was here. Does everybody follow me so far? Okay? Something, we know when the flood happened, that was a big, big, catastrophic event. Okay? It literally changed the entire world. I mean, it changed everything about it. Shortly after the flood, it looks to me like that the landmass of the earth split apart. Okay? That's what that says. For in his days was the earth divided. So I'm just going to kind of lay this out to you and show you how God works. When God judges something, when he puts his judgment on something, he always breaks it up in pieces. Think about in Daniel chapter 2, you have the kingdom, that's the four kingdoms. You have the image of gold and silver and brass, and then part of iron, part of clay. The final judgment upon the earth is that a stone cut without hands. And that stone is Jesus. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ because that stone becomes a great mountain. Okay? That stone cut without hands goes after the feet of that image and it dashes it in pieces and the image falls. Okay? Think about how God, all through the scriptures, he talks about his enemies. He talks about how he has dashed his enemies in pieces. In other words, he hit them so hard that they just broke asunder and they broke all to pieces. Think of, the Bible talks about a spirit called Rahab. He hath cut Rahab in pieces. And then it refers to Rahab as the serpent that's under the sea or the dragon that's under the sea. Let's see here. What happened to Dagon in 1 Samuel chapter 5? When they brought the Ark of the Covenant before Dagon, when Dagon fell the second time, what happened to it? Hands and the head, it was broken pieces is what it was. Okay? There was a scattering that took place, a scattering, a disbursement. What happened to Israel, in the ten, especially the 10 northern tribes, when God finally said, I've had it, that's enough. Your idol worship it stinks in my nose, and I'm going to write you a bill of divorcement. What happened with the 10 tribes of Israel? God took them up into Assyria, and it's called the dispersal. They were scattered all over. The Jews are everywhere now as a result of that, okay? So there's the scattering or the breaking of things in pieces. God's blessing, watch this now, just show you contrast in the Bible. God's blessing is that things come together under God, okay? Now, that has to be an agreement. For people to come together and to be one as an emblem of God's blessing, there has to be an agreement, okay? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Is there agreement between the temple of God and idols? Absolutely not. So that's why everybody keeps talking about Chrislam, the blending of Christianity and Islam. Let me tell you about my version of Christianity is that it doesn't blend with Islam, amen, Buddhism, or any other isms out there in the world. True Bible Christianity does not blend. We ought to all wear t-shirts that says, do not play well with others. Amen? Because I'm not. I'm not going along. I'm not getting along. Just for the sake of coming together, and really, what the spirit of the world wants is for everybody to just drop whatever it is that they're holding out that makes them distinctive, and just come together and forget about what separates us. That's unbiblical. It is totally unbiblical for that to happen. Okay, the Bible says even in a marriage, can two walk together except what? Except they be agreed. Okay. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A yoke is what you would put on two oxen. And if one of those oxen has a different will, wherever the strongest will is, that's where the yoke is going. You see what I'm saying? The United Nations, number one, is it's an abomination to national sovereignty. Number two, it won't work. It was conceived out of the pits of hell. It started out with the League of Nations. That was a disaster, and it didn't work. And now we have the United Nations, and it won't work. And here our Secretary of Defense, Panetta, gets in front of Congress the other day, and they're talking about whether or not we're going to go into Syria or not. And Panetta says, well, that's really up to the international community to give us permission to go in there or not. It's not. That the man that was selected to be the chief defense of American interest is now saying that America has no say in what we do. We really, that's up to everybody else to tell us what to do. How many of you agree that's wicked?
Amen.
Okay? It'd be like what's your name again, Roy? I'll get my hour back. Roy, it'd be like if you and Bonnie was trying to make a decision about something, and you both had pretty much decided that this is what you're going to do, and yet all of your friends gathered around you and said, we're not going to let you do this. It's plain and simple, we're not going to let you do it. Okay? That's not their call. It's yours. And you take the blessing or the suffer the consequences. But it's not everybody else's deal. Okay? And so that's my little deal on the United Nations. Amen? We keep saying we ought to get out of it. It's not going to happen. This thing's going to roll on until the Lord appears in the clouds. Amen? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Okay? But anyway, I want to show you this. So the world, all the landmass of the world was together. And everybody at this, see it says in verse 1 of chapter 11, the whole earth. Okay, it was the whole earth, and they were of one language and one speech. So everybody spoke the exact same language. Does everybody follow me so far? Okay, now they're all together. We know the story of Genesis chapter 11, that they try to build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, that we may make a name for ourselves. Bypassing the idea that Christ already bridges the gap between heaven and earth by way of the cross, by Jesus Christ. And number two, God will give us a name. We don't have to make a name for ourselves. Somebody say amen to that. So they're going against God and going against God's nature. So we know what happened, okay? We know that right here in Genesis 11, God confused their languages, okay? So you got a group of people, they're all working together, and all of a sudden one day, they're trying to build this tower, and one fellow says, hand me that tube before. And the other fellow over here says, yo habla español? Okay? All of a sudden, this guy here does not know what this guy's saying. And so he goes, turns to his buddy, he said, did you understand that? And this guy starts speaking, parlez-vous français? Okay? Sprechen Sie Deutsch? That's all I know right there, okay? And all of a sudden now, watch this, I'm going to show you how this works. All these people who are speaking similar languages, what are they doing? They're gathering together. Right? Okay? Because they can understand one another. All the people that speak this language, they're gathering together. Okay? And eventually, they decide that since they can't understand one another, it's pointless and fruitless to stay in this place. So they start moving out. They start going their way. Okay? Then, I'm going to show you, watch what God does now. Okay? So they disperse, number one, based upon language.
Yes.
Now, more than likely, and we know from the histories of the Bible and the histories of the world, when you look in Genesis chapter 10, you see this is how God, if you look in verse 32 of Genesis 10, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. By these were the nations what? divided. And so not only are they splitting up by language, they're splitting up by family line as well. So the Hamites are going here, and the Shemites are going here, and the Japhethites are headed that way. And God, it looks to me like God gave each family a different language. Does everybody follow me so far? Amen. Listen, when God decides to bust something up, man can't put it back together. Okay? So anyway, so they're divided up family-wise by language, and now they're dispersing out. And then at some point, in the days of Peleg, once they got scattered out a little bit, guess what else God did? The whole landmass now is separated, and you have to this day we call it Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere, Eastern Hemisphere. Okay? North America and South America are divided from the rest of the world. And there was people there who spoke a different language and had all, you know, this and that and the other, and God separated everybody out. It's kind of like what you do with the kids. When the kids ain't getting along, Dan, what do? Go to your room. You go to your room. You go to your room. Everybody go to their room. Now, so you can go. Okay? That's what God did. God's judgment upon something is division, dispersion, and casting away, breaking things in pieces. Does everybody follow that so far? Okay? Because these people over here are speaking, and what they're speaking to this group over here is unknown. Okay? Little history lesson. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to tell you, and the devil, listen, the devil knows this. The devil knows this. What is the devil's plan? What is his intention? Once he smites the shepherd, to scatter the sheep. Okay? So think about, let's apply this to the home. Okay? I don't care what racial group you're in. The devil has gone after the home. I don't care if it's black, white, Hispanic, Oriental. Doesn't matter. The devil has gone after the home. The home, the family unit, represents God's blessing in that they're together. It's why God is in marriage. Okay? It's God blessing the husband and wife, and they are in agreement, and they are working together, and they have the children, and everybody's together. Okay? I believe in families. Amen? Amen? Okay? Well, here's what happens. The devil will go after the strength of that home, usually the husband. And he's trying to smite the shepherd of that home so that those sheep will scatter. Once the sheep have scattered, they're easy prey for the wolves. Everybody see that? Once the sheep have scattered, they're easy prey for the wolves. But if they're together and they've got a shepherd there, that shepherd's got a rod. And if you're David, you don't have a rod. You got a sling. And David, everybody thought he was just being a little brat kid playing around. David was taking that sling and knocking soda cans off the fence post. And he would do that every day out of boredom. But he got pretty good at it. Yeah. Amen? Amen? He got pretty good at it so that when the lion and the bear came along, it's over with. When the lion and the bear giant came along, David said, "Oh, I've got this." And it was over with. Okay? So that's what's going on. The devil will go after the shepherd in any realm. He'll go after the president. He'll go after the Constitution in a nation. He'll go after the laws. He'll go after leadership. He'll go after dads. He'll go after pastors. Go after CEOs. I mean, that's just how he does it, because he likes everything all scattered and broke apart and everything's a big mess, okay? And so anyway, by the way, that is another 4 billion reasons why evolution's a joke. Amen. Evolution teaches that everything was already scattered, and it put itself together. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Amen? All right. I remember it was now. There's a picture floating around on the internet. Okay? And it's of one of these black and white cows. Okay, you know, this white cow with all these black spots on it. And this picture shows on this cow that this cow, the spots on this cow look, I mean, identical to the land masses of the earth. You can see North and South America. You can see Europe and Africa and Australia on the side of this cow. Do you believe that, Sterling? I wouldn't. Okay? But, I mean, you look at it, you're going, that's the map, that's the globe right there on the side of this cow. Now, when I saw that, I'm going, well, somebody photoshopped that in. Right? And why would I say that, Wayne? Why would I say that? Because it's pretty obvious. Because cows and their genetics would never, ever, in a billion years, make a design on the side of that cow that looked exactly like a map of the land masses of the planet. Am I right? And so any scientist would look at that and say, obviously that's been somebody with enough brains put that on there deliberately. Got them. Because then they turn around and say, now everything that is alive right now formed all on its own and had no intelligence behind it whatsoever. Right? But now a cow shows up with a map on its side. No, somebody put that on there. Anyway, I'll get back to the Bible. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end? I like being firm to the end. Amen. I like having my feet on solid ground. I like to know what's going to happen to me in the future. I like being confirmed. I like having the confirmation of the blessing of the Holy Spirit in me, who shall also confirm you unto them that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell you something, there's nothing that blesses my heart and thrills my heart more than to know that one of these days I will be blameless. Because right now I'm to blame. Okay? I am to blame. I mean, the fingers could be pointed at me all over the place. I am to blame. I'm very blameful. Blame myself a lot of times. Have you ever done that one? Say amen? You ever just blame yourself? And one of the blessings that God will give you when you get saved is that, number one, people who blame you anymore, they have no right. And number two, you don't have to blame yourself anymore. Amen? God's going to lift all that burden off of you and take it off of you one of these days. And one of these days, we're going to stand before God as if we had never sinned one day in our life. I don't know if you can just fathom how great that's going to be and how important that is. So we'll be blameless, all right, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this, verse 9. God is faithful. That means God's never lied. God's never cheated. God's never stepped away. He's never walked away. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's never been wrong. He's never in error. God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe in fellowship. I believe in biblical, godly fellowship. I believe you ought not fellowship with the world. Amen? You ought not fellowship with the world. You don't have fellowship with unbelievers. Okay? That means don't join yourself in leagues with unbelievers. Watch out for the clubs and everything like that that you're signing up for. Do not be in fellowship with unbelievers. The Bible forbids that. But I believe in being in fellowship with God's people. And I like fellowship. I like get-togethers and dinners and barbecues and campfires. Amen? I like that stuff. I like having fellowship with people. I don't have any friends outside of God's people. Okay? I don't go to bars on Friday night looking for a good time and just shooting pool with the guys. And I don't do that. So I just like to have, everybody likes to have friends. And I'd like to have friends. All right? So anyway, so God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in order to have that fellowship, there has to be agreement. Okay? Because now I'm not talking about every little thing that we have to like, every little thing in the world. Okay? Some people like the color pink. Some people like the color blue. But I think they can get along. Amen? Okay? But anyway, my wife likes pink and I like blue. So if you see me out here with a pink shirt, she picked it out. And I'm just being happy. Okay? You see me out here in a blue shirt, that was my idea. Okay? Anyway, now verse 10, here we go. Here it is right here. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is putting authority on it. This is done in the name of the Lord, that y'all speak the same thing. That exactly goes back to Genesis chapter 11. Speaking the same thing. In Genesis chapter 11, when God judged them and dispersed them, they were speaking, but they were not all speaking the same thing. Are you with me so far? Okay? They were talking differently. And finally, they had to just part one another and leave because they just couldn't put up with it. Be honest. Doesn't it make you uncomfortable to go into a restaurant like a Chinese restaurant or a Mexican restaurant and hear the workers in there talking their talk? Amen? Doesn't that bother you? Okay? You just think, I know they're talking about me. The truth of it is, you don't know what they're talking about. Okay? But you know what? You say, you know what? I like their food. You know, that's their language. It's how they grew up. They won't talk that way. They talk that way. But I'm glad I don't live with them. Amen? So you get around people that talk like this. Okay? So, listen, that's not racism. That's not saying that I'm better than they are. It's just that everybody's different, and we tend to get around people that are kind of the same as us. I mean, that's just how we feel comfortable. And so watch this now, that if y'all speak the same thing, and then he says that there be no divisions among you. All this is going back to what God did in Genesis 10 and 11. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, I want you to notice that same mind, okay? And I want you to think, I've talked about this and preached on this here a while back. I want you to think about the body. Okay? The body. There is something that joins the whole body together. That is the blood network and the skeletal network and the central nervous system. It's all controlled by the head. Who's the head? Christ. It's not us. It's not this and that and the other. Christ is the head, and he's the one that is telling the body, this is what I want done. The head tells the arm, "This I want you to do this," and we do it now without even thinking about it. But it's all controlled at the level of the head. The head decides. The head makes the decisions. The head says, you know, I got to get up and use the restroom. Well, that's got to make the legs do something. And the arms do something. And the body to do the heart and the lungs have got to pump a little extra hard because you've been sitting on the couch all day watching sports or westerns or anything like that. You finally decide you have to get up. And now the heart's going, oh man, here we go. Boom, 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 boom. Got to get this guy up. It's all got to work together or it goes bad. How many follow me so far? It's all controlled by the mind, and the head is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's saying, number one, you should all speak the same thing. Now, here's what I'm seeing going on. Okay? Over the years, denominations have developed. Okay? And God used them. There's no doubt in my mind God used godly people everywhere to preach his gospel. Okay? You look at the story in the history of America, is that all these people came over to this country, and God spread revival fires everywhere in America, and all of a sudden now these different denominations are sending missionaries out all over the place, preaching the gospel everywhere, and people are getting saved right and left all over the world. Somebody say amen. Okay? And now, at that time, it's because we all see through glass darkly. During that time, there was only one Bible. I'm not kidding you. There was one Bible. I don't care if you went into a Presbyterian church, a Methodist church, a Wesleyan church, which is Nazarene, or Baptist church, or whatever. I don't care where you went. They all had one Bible. And because we all see through a glass darkly, we don't really totally understand everything that this book is and that it represents. And so there would be little distinctions and divisions between denominations and One group would split off from another, and they would just kind of see it a little differently. But they all had the same book. Okay? Now, think about the devil now. Think about what he wants. What he wants to do. He wants to smite the shepherd so he can do what? Scatter the sheep so the wolves can devour them. Okay? So here it is. Westcott and Hort come along, and they pull out of the trash bin these corrupted Greek manuscripts. And they say, these right here that's the real Bible there. So they went after that, and it took about, I don't know, 70, 80 years, something like that, for it to really catch on. But now it caught on. So you had a group of churches using a different Bible than what everybody else was using. They were using what was called the Revised Standard Version. And the Revised Standard Version was most notorious for claiming that Christ came from a young woman rather than from a virgin. At this point now, I mean, if I asked you, if I went up to you know, somebody and asked about your daughter, and somebody said, well, she's a virgin, and somebody else said, well, she's just a young woman, that's not saying the same thing. And I'd be ready to pop one of them. Amen? Okay? They're not saying the same thing. And now all of a sudden there's a division. You see how it works. Then sprang up the Living Bible, which was a joke, which out of your mouth ought not come any profanity. Amen? And the first few runs of the Living Bible had the phrase SOB in it. That doesn't sound Bible to me. Okay? And it's not in there. So now it's easier to read. So now you got a division. Then you got the English Version and the New American Version, New American Standard, the NIV and the New King James. And now you got the Message Bible and all the, now you got a translation, the Holman Standard. Now you got a translation coming out about every 6 months, a different translation of the Bible. And each one of them is getting worse and worse and worse and getting farther away from the scriptures, from the originals. So look at what the devil has done. He's smitten the shepherd. And now that everything's scattered. Okay? Now, here's what God did for you. Sitting there nodding your head. Here's what God did for you, and don't you ever forget this. This was done by God for you. You didn't do it yourself. I can testify to the fact that when I was sitting there in my office, I did not just make myself believe in this Bible. God came and handed it to me and said, Mike, here it is right here. Believe it. And I surrendered to that. It was not my idea. It was God's. I would have never came to this conclusion on my own, and neither did you. And you hang on to that, because I'm going to preach on idol worship this morning in a different way. Okay? In a different way. But anyway, here's what happened. Here's what's happening right now. See this man over here? Okay, I'm not going to tell you everything. If he wants to tell it, I'm going to let him tell it. He comes over here to this church from a different denomination than us. What was it? What is the one thing, Dan, that brought you to this place? And if you say Mike Hoggard, I'm going to pop you. What's the issue that you left over? King James Bible. This man decided that the King James Bible was right and all the other versions were wrong. Amen. And he was going to stick with it, and they run him off. Praise God. So he's decided, you know, I got a family to raise, and I'm not going to have them sitting there listening to poison coming out of the pulpit. Okay? So he picked a church. It could be anyone, but he picked a church that's preaching the King James Bible. Let me tell you what's going on, okay? God is gathering, and he's separating out. Yes. Amen. He is gathering together, and he's separating out. And we have a following of people from all over the world who have come to us from one different background or another. Some Nazarene, some Assembly of God, some Pentecostal, some charismatic, just every place in the world. They're all just, but they're coming back and gravitating, being drawn in. But the shepherd now is going after the sheep have scattered. The shepherd's now going out and calling the sheep back. And those who know his voice, we're going, that's our shepherd. I want to go back home. Because that's Mike Hoggard. Because I grew up here in this church, and this is all I heard. Then I went away to Bible college, got my mind all good and straight. Okay? And that messed me up. And I was a lost sheep out there. And when I heard the Master's voice, I knew it was him. I'm going, I know that voice. Because he didn't say, you. He said, thou. That's what he said. And I knew his voice, and I came back. And I'm in his fold. And here, God will separate. He will dash in pieces. He will confuse. But he'll take his people who know his voice, and he'll call them with that voice. And they'll know that voice, and they'll come back into this fold. I love that. How in the world can we all speak the same thing? Just quote Scripture. Just quote Scripture. Quote one Scripture. One book. So the confusion of languages. So the pastor gets up there, puts all the verses up on the screen. I do that time to time. That's not a sin. But he'll put, now I like how the Message Bible says this. I like how the NIV says this. I like how this and that says that. And he'll have seven different translations up on the screen. That is not, and they're not all speaking the same thing. So you know what's happened, Brady? People go to church now. They just leave that in a car or leave it at home. They don't need it, because if they tried to follow in their Bible what's going on the screen, it is confusion. Because you cannot follow it. You cannot open your Bible in these churches and follow what's going on up on the stage. Because you're trying to concentrate on what your Bible says, and the speaker is reading some other text, and all of a sudden there's dissonance in your mind. I'm going to show you what that sounds like. Okay? God designed music, by the way. Amen? That is King James Bible. That is one Bible in harmony in a congregation. I could not listen to that all day long. Amen? Amen? So that's why I get up in the morning, I kiss my wife goodbye, and I come over here. She behind me, isn't she? Hi. That is dissonance. You know what that is? They're not saying the same thing. You know what the difference between this note and this note is? Just a few cycles of wavelength. But it's not the same. And you couldn't listen to music like that. If somebody came out with some song that had those notes in it for about 4 or 5 minutes, you'd say, you know what, turn that garbage off. I can't, ugh. Okay? But you get some sweet harmony and some sweet melody together, you can listen to it all day long. See, God designed us to know the difference. And I'm telling you, he's saying this by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every now and then, you just need your baby. Okay? Okay? Paul said this, our apostle said this by the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That you all speak the same thing. And so, really, since God has opened this up, opened this church up to what he's doing, here's something that we're going to stick to. People have asked us for a doctrinal statement, and I'll say right here.
Amen.
Okay? We believe every word in this book. This is it right here. Okay? See, that way I'm not dividing out anybody. Well, we believe so-and-so. And if you say you don't believe that, and you know what I hear coming out of their mouth? It was some doctrinal statement that some man come up with. I'm not following that. Calvin was not an apostle. Arminius was not an apostle. Martin Luther was not an apostle. I don't have to follow their doctrine. I have to follow this one. Okay? So here's our doctrinal statement. Everybody watching, you want to know where? Where's your doctrinal statement on your website? Well, look at here. It's right here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Okay, so this is it right here. And if somebody asked me, well, Pastor Mike, what about so-and-so? I'm just going to quote scripture to them. Okay, I did that with somebody and they didn't like it. Well, that's just what it said. You don't get mad at me. There it is right there. Okay, so this is what we're going to stick with. And we're all going to say the same thing. We're all going to have the same mind because we all have one Bible. Can I hear you say amen? My time was over a long time ago. I love you. But I love the Bible more. So just be jealous, all right? Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you, God, Lord, for... Lord God, we don't like strings of discord. We don't like strings of discord in our homes. We don't like discord, Lord, in our marriage. We don't like discord at work. We don't like discord at church. We don't like discord in the country. Lord, this country is fixing to get busted up, and you know it, God. You know it. Because the shepherd of our country, the Constitution's been smitten, and the sheep are going to be running all over the place. And Lord, Father, just help us, dear God, realize, Lord, that our strength is not in our divisions. Our strength, dear God, is that we speak the same thing. And we thank you, dear God, for putting in our hearts, Lord, for calling us. And Lord, we recognize your voice. We thank you for that, God. We did not do it ourselves. You're the one that did it, and we thank you for it. We ask, God, that you'd help us and bless us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.